I'm gonna do a roll call.
Called meeting to order of the Thursday, May 11th, 2017, meeting of the Recreational Commission. Roll call.
Ross Davis, Bill Ray.
Here.
Yvonne Cruz.
Here.
Christina Diamada Miller. David Gibbous. Simon Ponder.
Here.
Tanya Walker.
Here.
We have a quorum. Let us have a quorum. We'll proceed with the meeting. First item on the agenda, consideration of the minutes for April 13th, 2007. Do I have a motion for approval?
Motion for approval.
Have a first. Do I have a second?
I second.
Have a motion made first and second. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, sign, like sign. Motion carries. Public comment. Any members from the public wishing to make comments? Recognizing no members from the comment, we'll move on to persons wishing to appear. Some introductions for some new staff.
Julie Johnson is our new staff person.
She's new to this area, isn't she? How do you like Ocala?
I love it. It's really nice. I'm still trying to find my way around.
Okay. Finding people generally friendly?
Yeah.
Outreaching?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
I'm impressed. So.
Okay.
Yeah, it
has a very heavy...
Can you tell me why the city of Ocala is referred to as the horse capital?
Yeah.
As opposed to Marion County?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure that out. I've not seen one horse farm in the city limits. But I'm still looking.
Okay. Great to have you back on board, Julie.
Thanks, guys.
And
be back.
Have you been to, you've been to one of the meetings already?
I've been to one.
Mm-hmm. Remember John Spencer? So, yeah, maybe all of you weren't here. John Spencer is our recreation division head. So, and we just hired our new cultural arts division head. She couldn't be here because she's hanging an art exhibit. She started on Monday. Laura Walker is her name, but she'll come to the next meeting.
Very impressive. Yep.
Great.
Is she from here or from
out? She's from Oregon.
Oh.
Yay. Yep.
Got a lot of arts background and management of federal programs.
Do you know where in Oregon? Is it Portland or Eugene or Salem or any of those areas?
It's in Oregon.
Yeah,
that's a big state.
It's like those Oregon cities, yeah, in that it's in Oregon.
It's got a lot of trees.
Yeah, green, big.
I know it's not Portland or Eugene, but she talked about those cities.
She did talk about Salem.
Yeah.
She's originally from Indiana, I think.
She's going to hate the first summer.
Yeah.
And then about October, she's going to absolutely love it. And then November, she's going to wonder why it's not raining.
Mm-hmm.
And then December, she's still going to wonder why it's not raining.
She's not afraid to move because I think she did something for Kentucky in Kentucky. So she's...
That's great to bring in some external experiences, though.
Yeah. And she's got experience putting together cultural arts plans and arts districts, and with everything we have going on with Midtown and Tuscola Park, and then we're hoping to do a cultural arts plan next year. So it'll be good.
Great.
Brand federal programs,
yep,
of some type, so she's...
So we will bring her to the next meeting.
Okay, unfinished business. We were still going to, you know, continuing to look into the pickleball thing. I think it's going to be ongoing for a little while, but so long as we keep that on the front part of the radar. Actually, Jason and John Sperling just got back from playing in a tournament down in Naples, and I want to believe there was like... there was a comma involved in the number as to how many participants they had. So that's giving people an idea how big these things are.
Yeah, I think Jim Couillard brought that.
Yeah, so Jim Couillard said that they, he saw that this was on our agenda, and he said that the county's going out to bid to build 8 tournament-grade courts at Cohadjo Park. They're building more in the southwest corner of the county soon. Cohadjo's become their court sport county park by proxy. The courts there will host the Big Sun Pickleball League and have dedicated courts with lights, etc. They hosted a tournament there 2 months ago and it was huge. So, and he mentioned, he responded in another email, I forgot to bring it. He mentioned this tournament in Naples, and someone locally that lives here won his division.
Jason.
Is what he had said. So, yeah, it's a pretty big deal. So I started doing a little research on it. I think our first step for our existing courts in terms of the potential for possible shared use of courts that we already have, I think the next step is to have the rangers surveying throughout the day to see if there's a particular time when they're not already being used for tennis, or if they're courts that are just underutilized all the time. We want to see that, because we don't want to try to set up a shared use on a court that's already monopolized pretty regularly with tennis. So I think that's the next step, is start seeing what's available, you know, what potential we have. Did we put pickleball lines on at MLK courts? I feel like I remember you talking about it, but I can't remember.
Yeah, I know we did it at Gant in Tuscaloosa. I believe that was on the radar, but I don't, it might not have ever gotten done.
So Gant and Tuscaloosa are already marked for pickleball?
Mm-hmm.
So how does the net work? Because the net has to be lower.
I don't know. They don't mess with the net. We just put the lines on.
Okay. So we'll check into that a little more in terms of our existing courts. And then Jim mentioned the potential of possibly putting some pickleball courts out at ORS. Interestingly enough, I've also been contacted by a group who is considering wanting to build a tournament beach volleyball venue. And I've told them the only place we really have room for something like that is out at ORS, so we're quickly running out of land. So anyways, that's all.
The beach volleyball tournament, that venue's, I know of at least one group that is trying to do that. They keep working about it. They've been talking about doing it at Hickory Point Marina down in Tavares. They've been saying it's going to happen for 3 years. And and I don't know what the block is, but there's some reason that it's not getting brought in, and they're looking at bringing in, you know, the Olympic, the things that we're talking about, you know, heads in beds, tournament, outside people coming to participate, being a part of the economic development, not a local service level.
Right, and so I had suggested, and, you know, not that anyone cared at that point, because they had much bigger fish to fry, with where Wild Waters is, that they consider putting beach volleyball there.
That would be huge.
They're putting in a very extravagant roundabout at that intersection.
Yeah, I sit on the, we're on the Silver Spring CRA. We're working with Tillman and Associates together on doing that. And that the giant roundabout is currently the design of choice, but with Wild Waters and Silver Spring State Park and outdoor recreation and beach volleyball, that would just be a really good fit for that area.
Right. So.
And we got local hotel rooms.
I can tell you, I don't think they have any plans to put it there, but I thought it would be a great idea. So my fear with beach volleyball has been, how do you compete against the Daytonas and the Clearwaters? And everybody I've talked to said, you compete because your hotel rooms are reasonable.
Absolutely.
Because when we have to pay $200 a night to stay on the beach, and we're playing beach volleyball all day, we don't have time to enjoy the beach.
Kathy, I can't emphasize how...
Nor do you want to.
I can't emphasize how clear of a use that you've just proposed. It's non-intrusive. It is in compliance with what the state park wants. They have adequate parking. We're along a strip that is crying for heads and beds, but people and beach volleyball players will usually come with a large travel team associated with them. They can walk to the park.
Yep. So you're on the committee, right? Didn't you just say you're on the CRA committee?
Yeah, I'm not on the committee. I'm one of the consultants that's doing the CRA plan.
So can consultants make proposals?
Oh, absolutely.
Because it'll sound a lot more important coming from a consultant than...
Yeah, no, you show it when you're developing the CRA master plan as a proposed use with that, but it's also to bring in Division of State Parks. And Scott and Division of State Parks has been very favorable for that type of joint use, because right now they're holding the NCAA triathlons at Lake Louisa State Park. And so we're not proposing something that's...
not already happening.
Yeah, that's not already happening. But it's in a line with the theme of... the holistic theme, the cumulative package of what Silver Springs was, what Silver Springs is. There's always been active commercial uses associated with the Silver Springs State Park. Mm-hmm. And now it's to, since the state took back over management of it, they've been wondering what level of active commercial uses are appropriate. A Bass Pro Shop has been not one of them.
I heard that they had proposed a strip of commercial use on that Wild Waters piece.
I've seen some things that have come up to where they're looking at it as you know, with period architecture and all that, of being a Main Street type district and parking internally. Yeah, those plans are out there. But even on that corner or at other areas of Silver Springs, to have 8 deep white sand beach volleyball courts as part of a redevelopment area within the existing active areas in the park. I mean, the Silver Springs Open Volleyball Tournament, you know, right, where you're bringing in the pros, international pros and everything else. And what's key is that where they have some of these other ones, if you haven't seen them, I mean, they'll just bring in a park in downtown and take a parking lot and fill it up with 2 feet of beach sand that they truck in.
I've seen it at hotels before.
Yeah.
Half the parking lot is just nothing but sand.
That's right.
Now you got, and there's a restaurant, usually like a Cracker Barrel or something there, and so it's like those people never even leave.
No, you trap them. But
they
now to come in where
play,
you
play all day long.
Where you have a venue right there, and you have Silver Springs, where if you're not at the venue, you're walking around the state park, and
Kathy mentioned that would be cool.
You only have one host hotel.
Yeah,
nothing's of any size of that's not already antique, other than the Holiday Inn.
Yeah, but it would spur redevelopment.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of, let's just say, depleted, hotels and stuff out there. But if they have a market and they start coming in, one thing I've also, haven't been the traveling sports guy, you're not necessarily looking for the, for the Ritz or anything. You're just looking for a place to crash. If it costs you $60 a night as opposed to $100, if it costs you $40, it's that much better.
I don't know. When I don't like the little drug hotels.
Yeah.
I know, you got to be careful, but let me tell you, we've stayed in some hotels and playing travel baseball. So,
I mean, we have packed them into, I know they say on the signs no more than 4 occupants per room, but we have broken that rule.
Well, Kathy mentioned too, the gentleman she was speaking with about this was, talking about, when you have them on the beach, another thing is you've got to park way away, drag all your stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's the inconvenience that also goes with it.
And you have, and this was a great point, you have young girls that are 8, 9, 10, up to 16 years old, and they're in little itty-bitty bikinis playing sports, and the people that are hanging out on the beach, you're not controlling. I think they said they had one tournament in Daytona there was this young group of, it was my friend telling me that they had this young group of young adult men that were just hollering out lewd stuff to the girls, and fortunately one of the parents on their team is a sheriff, and he went over and asked them to leave the property. But so, I mean, that's the thing, is you don't control, that's not really all that's going on at the beach.
That's a whole different demographic.
Yeah.
If when you have the state park overhead with it, you don't have that spring break misbehaving perception.
So we will continue to work through both of those. But along that same line, let me just say, I heard that there is a private group of people who is looking at building a water park off of 27 and I-75 that will be larger than what Wild Waters was. So that's all I know in terms of details, except for they, and the only reason it came up is because we have a lot of concerns about how we're going to handle the need in this community with two little swimming pools and a splash pad. Because Wild Waters won't open this summer. And we at Jervie Gant Pool, we were already at capacity. We're already in sessions at our pools during the week. I mean, you get to buy 2 hours at a time. There's a line out Jervie Gant Pool just about every day. So I was expressing that concern, and that's when it came up. And they said, when I first heard about it, I heard 2 to 3 years, but somebody told me that they were talking about fast-tracking it and that it might be open by next year. So I think it's all very preliminary, but I just wanted to put a bug in your ear that I hear that's happening. It would be wonderful.
Interesting.
Okay. Any more unfinished business? If not, moving on to new business. Board reports.
So City Council, some time ago when they adopted their new policies for boards, had asked that each board make a report to City Council annually. And we did it once, and then we haven't done it again and it's not just us. None of the boards have reported back to council in several years. So they're asking for just a written report. You don't have to come to a verbal report. It'll get submitted under informational items. And they've told us when they want each of them submitted. So staff has drafted this report for you, went back through the minutes, and just pulled stuff off to put in terms of accomplishments. And then we just added these goals and priorities based on things that we know that are coming up that we will need your feedback and input on and approval. It's not to say there won't be other things that won't come up, because if you look at your list of accomplishments, a lot of that just came up. So are we looking for their approval on this today? I can't remember when theirs goes.
Next week. Is it Tuesday?
No.
No.
First one is Arts Commission. I feel like theirs doesn't go till the end of June, maybe.
Maybe July.
Then. Yeah. So.
Yeah, showing board report to council on July 18th, and so it'd need to be a month before that.
Yeah.
And so we got between now and first Tuesday, first Thursday, or whenever it is.
Yeah, so you all.
June 8th.
You all could actually take this, and we can, and if you have any input, anything you want her to add to this, you can let Michelle know, and then we can bring it back at the June meeting for you to approve it, because I still have time to get it submitted.
Okay.
I just have a question to clarify. Didn't this used to be called the Recreation and Parks Commission? Mm-mm. It's always been just Recreation Commission.
Yep.
And I know it says public facilities, because we talk so much about parks. I'm assuming that falls in the category of public facilities.
Yes.
Okay, because it's like I don't see the word park in there, and it's throwing me off.
It's any public facilities that are used for recreational programs.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't ever really, but if it helps you feel better, it's in the park section of the code.
Okay.
This is how this board is described in the code of ordinances.
Okay.
Under the park section.
Okay, staff reports.
So, do you want to give them an update on what projects you've got going on?
Excuse me. So the
thank you.
First Fort King National Historic Landmark. We are on track, moving ahead. The land clearing is about done, and as of this afternoon, we are fully funded by our nonprofit board for that construction project. Yeah. We received the funding we were seeking, and everything's moving ahead. So if you haven't been out there lately, I'd advise you to go out and take a look, because it looks drastically different. The trees are down, and the stumps will be gone this coming week. Next big one we're working on, projects crews out, doing touch up at Lillian Bryant, which I'm sure Kathy or John will touch up on in a minute, with the painting, landscaping, irrigation's done, landscaping's done, and the furniture that we're putting up, the benches and or chairs and tables, etc. I'll be going out there, and Simon mentioned wanting to go take a look, so I'll be going out there after this. So.
Is that Lillian Bryant?
No, Lillian Bryant.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to get you in the water.
He said he wants to go turn on the water tonight.
Well, there's like
oh, no, he's got Citizen Academy.
It's pretty simple. And then...
back on that, isn't the open house coming up? Okay.
On the 20th. And then we also have our groundbreaking ceremony at 14 on the 19th at 9:30 a.m. on that one. And we just got the approval from the state last week on Heritage Nature Conservancy. Julie's spearheaded that one. And we'll have the projects crew in there clearing trees. And we already started working on some of the underbrush this past week. And we'll have the projects crew in there.
Where's that one?
On 3rd Street, right down the road here.
Okay.
Four blocks down,
yeah.
On the 1900 block of 3rd.
It's my favorite park.
And we're moving ahead with the design on the trail, and just got to clear some trees out of the way this time and make room for that parking lot this coming week.
Are you going to make that parking lot bigger of what's there?
Yes.
It's slightly bigger than what's there, yeah. Okay. It's not even in that same spot. It's shifted further west.
Okay.
It's going to be paved, right, curb, landscaping.
So you're still going to drive in the same way and then go somewhere to park?
You're exactly
close,
right,
yeah.
To the left.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then it'll be one in, one out is the way we designed
right.
it.
Yeah, you'll go in, go around, and then come back out like that.
Gotcha.
So.
And you'll have the pedestrian access out right across the street from the Fort King middle school where the buses come in and out.
Oh,
or the car line,
the
not the bus.
Car, yeah.
Yeah.
The
car line.
Or the gym behind the school.
Okay.
The gymnasium.
Yeah.
Is
okay.
The loop there. So.
Had our contractor in there spraying. We've met with all the homeowners. We've given them their literature as of yesterday. They've all got their literature notification that the park's going to be closing on the 15th for construction. And we're moving ahead. And from what I understand after talking to Kiefer and staff, that it was very well received. No complaints on it, so we're looking forward to it.
Good deal.
And just so you know, too, in terms of projects, we are going to be bringing together the fundraising committee. We were kind of trying to wait till this fundraising got over before we started fundraising for the skate park. So that's our next step. We don't have a nonprofit board. We're just going to form a committee. Have some people who have indicated that they want to be involved in that process. So we have gotten approval from council for the location to be over here, and we've met with the contractor, and they're going to redesign it slightly. When they designed it for Scott Springs in particular, it was a very narrow site. It wasn't perfect in their minds. They made it as perfect as they could for that site, but this site they can go a little square. So all the same elements will be in it, but it'll just flow a little differently. So we're waiting for a timeline from them on what that design looks like, and then also
a cost for the redesign
in terms of moving it from Scott Springs to here. They were already at 50%, so they don't expect that to be very much. So and then we're going to go straight forward to 90% and 100% and get this be shovel ready when we get the funds raised. We do have I can't say who, but we do have a corporate donor that is interested in potential naming rights for the facility. So City Council has committed to paying for one-third of the project. If we can get a nice commercial donor, that'll be a nice hit. And then we had hoped to potentially get a FERDAP grant for it. We had applied at the Scott Springs location. I'll tell you this, there is absolutely no funding for Florida Forever. I don't know if you saw the article in the newspaper, no funding for Florida Forever, no funding for, that's where the FERDAP program falls under, Florida Recreation Development Assistance Program. We have built millions of dollars of parks facilities in this city using FERDAP funds, so, and you know, so has every community. So I imagine the directors from around the state will be getting together soon to talk about early legislative session this year. A couple years ago, they decided to every other year, they flip them back and forth. So this year's legislative session will actually start gearing up pretty soon in terms of meeting with them at their home offices and setting the agenda. I think that any new bills have to be filed by October. So we will start having those meetings, having those conversations. Our representatives in Tallahassee have changed dramatically since the last time we went up there and met with them. So we'll come up with a plan and probably we'll ask for you all to support that plan, either through writing letters or making phone calls to try to get that funding reestablished. I expect, everybody expects that there will be lawsuits filed in regard to this year's budget and the lack of funds for Florida Forever, that voters feel like they made themselves clear on what their expectations in land conservation was, and it's being ignored. We've talked about the fact that unfortunately it's also being ignored at the federal level, so it's something that advocates for conservation are going to have to start stepping up and getting noisy about. So
that's, you know, Amendment 1 was passed with the clear intention of acquiring and preserving and managing existing recreational lands. And then right off the bat, several of the state agencies used it as rehiring of positions that had been laid off in the recession and purchasing new equipment and
shifted the majority of it to water.
Yeah.
And then use the funding that they had for it. Very much worked the same way the lottery did in education.
Yep.
The money, they were already spending a boatload of money on water. So what they did is they used Amendment 1 funds to fund water projects and then used that money to fund other things. Well, and did supplant a lot of the state funding for parks.
They took it and they allowed the definition of what came into water-related projects when the public was thinking it was conservation and preservation of recharge areas and riparian areas and watersheds and that. And then you had some legislatures that thought that it meant upgrading a city's wastewater municipal treatment plant and extending water lines and utilities. And I never get surprised when new cash becomes available to a governmental body how quickly it can be misappropriated from what the clear was the intention of Amendment 1.
So
yeah, it's going to get crazy before it gets straightened out.
Yeah.
What they didn't comprehend was when Graham wrote it and he said, you know, it was like, you know, 32 cents on the dock stamps, and they didn't realize that Florida Forever was funded off of 2 cents on the dock stamps. Then when they saw how much money this was actually going to generate, and it was a percentage, not a fixed fee, so as a percentage was when appraised property values all across Florida were at an all-time low. Well, now that the appraised values have come up, now people are getting even more recognized and they see how much money's there. And the first words out of their mouth, we don't need to spend all that money on buying land and environmental resources.
Well, and at the same time, the state was, you know, the governor was pushing for selling state land.
Yeah, they're selling for, you know, and it's having reviewed those that have come in on state lands, but some of them were lands that had no reason to be, you know, acquired anyway. And you know, small, commercial, isolated enclaves that are not part of a regional, you know, corridor, but they got bought.
And then at the same time, at the federal level, the drilling licenses and the fees associated with that were a certain percentage of that was supposed to be designated for the Land and Water Conservation Fund. It continues to be debated whether they're going to continue to fund that program. And you see what's going on with the national park system and you know, constant questioning of how that's operated and which parks we really need to keep. And so it's something we have to stay awake Anything on parks operations?
Parks is moving forward. Our reorganization appears to be working much better for us, using their strengths where they're most needed. Do have a quote to redo the port in place out here at Tuscaloosa, a portion of the port in place that's in really, really bad shape. The blue ring around the main center, play center here, play area. It just gets so much wear. We've done repairs to it in the past. Now it's to the point where the repairs need repairs. And that's the second go around for that. So,
are you repairing the repairs, or is it a?
I'm looking to take the entire blue ring out and replace just the blue ring, because the green and the brown are in pretty good shape, actually.
On the blue ring, is it a functional design issue that it was, you know?
No, it just breaks down over time, and you get so many kids at this playground. I mean,
so many
is,
kids.
You
know,
go look out that window. It's 5 o'clock, and there's 30 kids out there, minimal.
Yeah, they're meant to be used. You know, that's just so it. That's why I was getting with the design.
It's such high traffic.
Yeah.
And impact.
I mean, if there's another design, or if there's another material.
If we did, we'd have to redo the whole thing, and it's just way more costly at that point.
Okay.
So it's easier for me to manage the $15,000 quote I have than to tear out what's essentially about $80,000 worth of port in place. Is that,
yeah,
that about right?
It's
$40,000 just for the main play area.
Yeah, it's 40. I think under the playground it was like 40-something thousand when the playground was first built. And then I can't remember how much it was under the swings, and then when we added the rest that was like 52,000, and yeah, that was, you know,
it's a lot of money.
$80,000 plus in port in place.
Trying to figure out how to get in the port in place playground surfacing business.
The more successful we are as a parks department, the more use and impact we're going to have on our facilities, and that's the object of what we're doing, is to wear things out and then plan for success in the next go around. That, hey, if we planned for, you know, 10,000 kids annually using this facility, and now we're exceeding that because we're not meeting the expected life of our product, you know, at least have the thought of, do we need to plan for 20,000 kids or 50,000 kids?
Yeah, and we're looking at that option with, we have a couple different issues going on over there. So we're looking at that option with the swing set area right now, because it's going to be much more costly to replace it, and it's functional right now, but it needs some repairs. So that's a possibility that might come out and be something else, and over time we can transition that.
Well, the money and time saved from not doing 5R and constantly being in there having to, it's a savings.
That's fine.
If it costs, you know, $30,000 to replace the blue, it would be, in the long run, it would be a cost savings.
The cost is one thing that we're concerned with on this side, and then the other, the true cost is the number of kids, the number of families that don't get to utilize the facility. Or it's an unsafe facility, or
right,
it's mm-hmm. not the best facility that we can put out there. And it's kind of a different focus, but mm-hmm. I'd focus on, you know,
yeah,
is it going to be adequate in 5 years?
The one that's a park that's used that heavily, a playground used that heavily, we'd have to be out there every single day raking it.
Easily.
Yes, I remember around that whirl, you'd look out there when...
There'd be a mountain underneath it.
You can just like see their heads at one point. That's why I'd say, Kathy, when do you think we're only going to see the top of their heads? Because it just get deeper, you know, every day.
The products that you're using out there are adequate. And, I mean, it's a whole lot better than a lot of the other loose materials.
Well, in Florida, they break down quicker because of the heat.
That brutal sun.
The blue ring is the only piece that really needs it right now. So we'll work on that one and then try to budget for the swing set next year. See if we can get through the year on that one.
Well, and in the first year or so that it was there, it completely flooded like two or three times.
Yeah, that's what caused.
And you wonder, you sit, I remember looking at Kathy, we'd look at each other and say, I wonder how that Ford in place is going to handle being underwater. I mean, you know.
We find out.
You know.
Well, we're not worried about it flooding this year.
So far. Please let it rain. Please let it rain. Please make it stop. Please make it stop.
The other day, there's like 3 hours of rain. There's a 10% chance of 3 hours of rain over the next 15 days. So odds aren't good. I think we're about to get 10 minutes of it.
I've also got two programmers under me, which are Kiefer Calkins and Caroline. I don't even want to slaughter her last name, so I won't go there. Our new ranger at Fort King, which do our historical and environmental programming. I'm proud to say that Kiefer, for his summer camps, which he's kicking off this summer for the first time, which are directly focused on 14, 15, 16, and 17-year-olds, which don't get that service currently. From us or the county, he has now officially received sponsorship for 15-plus kids, underprivileged kids, for that. And we're working with a couple different groups to identify who those kids will be and where we get those kids from.
And where did that funding come from?
$1,000 came from Ocala Electric Utilities, and $1,750 came from Junior League. They had some money left over, and we're looking to spend it, and we gladly accept it. And today, we just accepted, as well, a $10,000 grant, cash grant.
Clay Electric.
Clay Electric, for education, as well, which he'll use for his programming out of Fort King, Scott Springs, and Agency.
What was that age group again?
14 through 17.
Is Discovery Center still doing their teenager program?
Their program,
I think, going up to like 16, I think.
Was it 13
or 15, I believe?
Maybe 14 or 15.
They were bottomed out last year. I don't know about the specific one you're talking about.
They had I think they called it the outdoor program, because that was the idea. The older kids, they were taken out to field trips every day.
I feel like it goes like to 14, maybe 15, but not 16.
Okay, so they're still doing that. And
yes.
Then you guys are going even older than that.
We're going to go all the way to 17. Yeah. And our three trips are already planned, scheduled, and in the books. We're doing, each one of them has a three-day night component outside of town. We've got Crystal River Archaeological State Park. They all have a environmental education aspect and a historical aspect to them, or component to them. We'll have tours there with the archaeologist on site, and they'll get to do some of the work with the archaeologists. We have St. Augustine. We'll be with Kate Messenger. We'll be going. She's a certified St. Augustine tour guide. She was there before she came to us. And we're going to be visiting all the forts there as well and going through that history, which directly relates back to Fort King and Ocala. And then we're going to do our last one, which will be a reenactors camp at Silver River State Park in the primitive camping area. And we'll do use our reenactment gear that we purchased last year that we used for our reenactment this year. And the kids will set up camp with that and cook time period 1830s cooking and camping and living and going through with some of the docents from the museum.
Good.
There as well.
Good.
So if you know any well-deserving teenagers who would like to participate in one of those programs, they're a week long. They stay overnight, a couple nights.
Three overnighters.
So if you know of someone, please recommend them. The program's open for registration, so I mean that part's happening as well, but these...
So these are scholarship.
These are scholarship kids. Okay. These will be 15 that are scholarshiped.
Okay.
So not the entire program.
Oh,
is,
okay.
But there are scholarships.
We're going to do five for each camp.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
There's five spots for each camp.
So, and part of the goal is, you know, we hear all the time that we don't have very many programs for that age group. Typically, we lose kids at about the age of 16 when they get a driver's license, but we feel pretty strongly that our teenagers need some direction in terms of leadership skills, getting involved in their community. And so this program, our outreach program that we hope to start in the fall, is all geared towards just reinforcement of those skills as they're, you know, as they're growing through the years, and so that by the time they leave us to go to college, they're prepared, they go to the next level, and hopefully come home and contribute back.
Even though we have the largest national forest in the country, at 565,000 acres just down the road, we live in a real urban environment. The majority of our kids don't get out that much. They don't get much outside of Marion County, much outside the immediate area.
Outside, period.
Yeah.
So, you know, in contrast to where I came from, where most of the kids are in the mountains, they're out, you know, gearing up for trout season and go out fishing, and they go out hiking on the weekends, and they're up in the mountains to cool off. The weather's 20 degrees cooler. We want to get some of those kids exposed to some of those things now. And what we're hoping to do is next year do a similar camp, but take it out of town, take it out of state, go to North Carolina, maybe for a week-long camping trip, for a backpacking trip, out in the mountains on the Blue Ridge Parkway, or out in Shenandoah, or one of the other parks, or maybe even Georgia, as close as Georgia. We've scouted out a few locations that are just ideal for it. And there, you can get away with it pretty inexpensive. And we're supplying all the gear, by the way. We've, through other grants and working with some other partnerships, we've gotten really good discounts on tents, backpacks, all the essential gear we'll give the kids. We're working on packing lists now. They'll be required to bring their clothing, certain clothing and items like that. And then we're working on food schedules and menus and things of that nature. So.
Are you somehow contacting the parents of the kids that are aging out of the current programs, like Brick City and Discovery Center, all of them?
Through the flyers that we've done, we've marketed it with what they've been doing at the DC, and Kiefer spent the week with them developing the flyers, and now Amy's got it, and we're putting it out along with Tim Jones, who's one of our contacts at the school board. He's one of the administrators. We're putting it out into the schools.
It's a great idea to look in ActiveNet, though, and see who's aging out of those programs.
We can email them out of there. So.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Okay.
And Brick City is still doing their program?
Mm-hmm. And Brick City's program goes, they extended their age group this year to maybe 16. Used to be it went to 14, so they've also extended theirs. And I don't know, you know, part of the challenge that we've had is 16-year-olds don't want to hang out with 10-year-olds.
Right, exactly.
So that's why we kept our age group narrow, but they're going to try it and see. And I mean, in the end, we're trying to offer some opportunities for these older kids, and we'll continue to work on it. But, all right. Recreation, I'll give John's report since he had to go. He's doing Citizens Academy. We are geared up for summer camp. We are pool, Jervy Gamp Pool opens next weekend. Hampton Pool should open the next weekend. We're having a little bit of a challenge right now. The lines that are done with tile. We drained the pool to do some repairs and realized that more of that needs to be replaced than we anticipated. We're trying to work through and get it done under an emergency work order. If we can't, then if we can't get the whole thing done, we're going to evaluate what absolutely has to be done before we open and just get that done. So we're working through that issue. The splash pad, we have our final inspection from the state on Monday, and then the grand opening for that you heard was on the 20th. That is from 11 to 2, and then. Anything else on summer programs? I think that's it. They'll have the, what do they call, Future Stars basketball program again this summer. So they've revamped that a little bit again to try to separate the older kids, trying to get more participation from the older kids. by breaking those age groups out a little differently. And we're borrowing school buses from the school system again, so that's nice. We'll be able to transport them to offsite. It's going to be a blessing to have that splash pad over at Lily and Bryant, because then we don't have to haul those kids. It's not that we won't take them to the pool, but we won't have to haul them every single day over to the pool. It'll be interesting to watch us try to manage that splash pad, because, you know, what do you do if three buses of daycares pull up? And so we're going to keep an eye.
Yeah,
we'll keep an eye on that. And that's about it on recreation programs until the fall.
Will you have Wi-Fi at Lily and Bryant? I remember that was a concern.
The Wi-Fi is back on at Lily and Bryant. And I know they've ran network connection to the splash pad itself so that they could plug into that system and see. But yeah, I forget what he said was wrong with it when we told him. Remember when we were out there and the guy came and told us? And then I totally forgot about it. And then it's like 2 weeks later, I'm out there and the same guy comes out. And I'm like, oh. And I mean, the minute I saw him coming, I'm like, I forgot about you. And I'm on my phone right then, calling and checking on it. So then the next time I went out there, he said that it was good.
Okay.
So... But I forget what they said was wrong with it. I'm sure it was some technical term that I wasn't expected to understand. But it's all good.
Yeah, I saw the city internet truck out there a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, they were out there. So they ran the network connection, and they were trying to work out what the IP address was. So he says, well, but they didn't give us a port to plug in. That's like, yeah, there's a port. You open the little door and there's this little silver port. Like, I don't know much, but I knew that was the right port. So I took a picture of it and sent it to them. So they did get back out there and get it hooked up. And I got Carla on the phone with the chemtrail people in California, and they're talking all chemicals. And I mean, that's a complicated system out there. Our pools are not nearly as complicated as that, but it's a beautiful thing because she'll be able to see if all our readings are right. Okay. Run on over there. So we're going to get a proposal to get our pools on that kind of system. I mean, it automatically makes all of the adjustments. It's it's constantly reading and making the adjustments that are needed, and which we have some of that at the pools, but not nearly as complicated. But it doesn't take you till about 2 seconds into the conversation to realize you were not meant to be here. So not my thing.
Special services?
We had the Motown downtown event. Had a lot of good feedback. You went to it, didn't you?
Yes.
Did you like it?
Enjoyed it.
It was great.
Totally.
The Friday night one was fat. Yeah, it was. I didn't see you there.
Oh yeah,
he was front row.
Right up.
Really?
He was front row.
That's
the band was really good.
And everybody was having fun. I mean, people were dancing, and it was a blast. It was very well organized.
Very happy. Yeah. Environment.
Yeah, and all ages. I mean, the young, the old, everybody was there.
That is nice. Did they have the splash pad gone?
No.
No.
It was on when they started.
That was the dance area.
It turns off.
It was actually a little bit, it was windy, so it did a little bit chilly, you know.
Yeah.
It's not like you needed, gloves and a hat, but it was.
I passed through there earlier.
Yeah. Didn't get below 60.
Before noon. There was people
Oh, yeah, we had it all during the day. It was running during the day.
I mean, I had them long sleeves, and they had kids out there in the water.
I know. I mean, I had a pullover, fleece thing, so it was a little bit.
So the Lovett concert series will start. Is that next weekend? Lovett's next Friday.
Lovett's starting next Friday.
Ten weekends in a row at MLK Recreation Complex.
Those are on Fridays.
Yep.
Every Friday.
Okay.
Yep.
Through July.
That's a lot of weeks.
Yeah, and then the next thing after that is we have the back to school bash will be the end of July. And then the end of summer bash in September. So that's about it for special services, other than I already told you we hired a the Cultural Arts Division Head. She'll be over Discovery Center as well as Cultural Arts Program. So, and she's already saying all the right things in terms of, you know, you just customer service. And she says, you know, twice I've walked in the building now and was like, hello. I said, yeah, fix that. She's going to do great. She really is. She's got a good background and she gets it. So we're looking forward to watching her take things over there to the next level.
Comments by board members?
Whatever happened with the initiative of sharing the parks with the county school board?
Well, we're almost ready to resurrect it again. You know, the city and the school board were in a lawsuit, and there was the city attorney wanted certain language in the contract that the school board took offense to. And it really was related to if either party is indebted to the other, that you have the right to, or is behind on their payments to the other, you have the right to cancel the contract. Well, they took offense to that, but interestingly enough, the contract could be canceled with 15 days notice to either party anyway, so it's not like it really mattered. I mean, from their standpoint, why did you even need to put it in there? Because
right. You
can cancel with 15 days notice, even if we are paying our bills, right? So it went back and forth. That was the whole holdup. Well, now, you know, the city just, the school board just contracted with the city to do all their fiber. So it's a pretty large project. And so I think the relationship's changing. And so I'm hoping that we're getting there where it's
Well, it reminded me when you mentioned borrowing school buses. I was like, yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, they let us borrow.
Yeah.
We've still, where our services are concerned, we've still been very, I mean, we pretty much, our city council has been like, if they want it, you let them, you know, we're going to let them have it. It still has to go to city council to be approved, but they still use our pools, they still use our tennis courts, and then we use their school buses. So, and there have been times we've used gymnasiums, or they've had, when they have their, is it the Big Sun basketball tournament at Vanguard? They practice at Krosky, and so we've still worked very hard to have a, you know, to work cooperatively mm-hmm. together. The big thing that's missing is being able to open those school grounds for play areas and neighborhoods. And it's just a matter of reviewing it and seeing which properties we're even talking about. Where the city and the school board is concerned, there's not a great opportunity to share the cost to purchase property for new schools, because we're not building new schools inside the city limits, right? So,
right.
Where the county and the school board is concerned, when the school board goes to buy a new property to build a new school, the county would like to, you know, share in that so that the park is used by the schools, and so you don't build two playgrounds, you build one playground. So that opportunity exists for them, but for us, the real issue is existing schools, getting those properties fenced in a way that when school's in, the whole thing's fenced in just for school use, and when school's not in, a gate in the middle is locked, and this gate's unlocked. That's really what it comes down to for us. So, I imagine it will get resurrected probably in the next year or two.
Good.
Very good. Comments by board members? We just brought those up. Since that's done, we've covered it. With nothing else to be said, motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
I will second that.
So moved.
Good to be.
Yay.